Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Base, 1025, 1063, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. So the whole squad is in Indianapolis. Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon, and Tim Kelly is in Indianapolis as well. And all three of them spoke with the media yesterday. And Paul Kaharsky put out a clip of Tim Kelly yesterday. This is what Tim Kelly said.
I didn't think we were predictable last year. I think there are some times where, certain games, certain things, weather, people you have available, things along those lines. There are a lot of elements that go into predictability or perceived predictability. So I wouldn't say that we were predictable last year.
And Paul Kaharsky put that out, and it caused a firestorm with Titans Twitter. What do you mean we weren't predictable? Oh, no, here we go again. Another awful offensive coordinator. Our offense is going to be predictable yet again. Do you think the Titans offense was predictable last year?
Here's my view on this, because I can see – I try to see both sides of it. And that's what just everything, period. I try not to be too heavy one side or too heavy the other side unless it has to obviously deal with my kids, and that's something totally different. even with that is, if you're wrong, you're wrong. But when people say you're predictable, I'm trying to figure out what are they saying, because I can argue that this team – after the first 15, because the first 15, and I've said this before, Caroline, there's a difference between, good offensive coordinators and great offensive coordinators. I think once you get in that position, I think, coaches, offensive coordinators, I think every offensive coordinator in the National Football League that has that title, they can put together a game plan. That they can do, because it's hard to put together a game plan. It is, each and every week. And it's a collaborative effort from everybody, tight ends coach, running backs coach, offensive line coach, receiver coach. So there's this collaborative effort, and it's up to the offensive coordinator to sort of put it all, mesh it all together, and then take it in and call a game. So all 32 offensive coordinators, they can make calls, because some of them are, it might be, and some of them are head coaches too. But it's only a select few that can take those calls and implement them in the game in such a way that is creative. That, like Hutt said, that you get the defensive coordinator chasing your calls. It's not like, we can be calling the same thing over and, throughout the game, but you don't know what I'm going to call, or I'm creative enough that it may look like this play, but it turns out to be another play, because I've watched this game long enough to understand that, okay, if I do this one or two times, you're going to more than likely think that if I do it a third time, it's going to be the same play. Well, no, I'm not doing it. We're going to line up the same way, but we're not running the same play. It's going to be a different play. So when people say they're predictable, and I know some fans say, well, I know what they're calling. You don't know what they're calling. You have no idea what these guys are calling.
It is so easy for you to sit back on your couch when you're watching the game and say, I think they're going to run it here.
Exactly.
Because 50% of the time, you're going to be right.
And 50%
of the time, you're going to
be. Exactly. What this offense wasn't, and I think I said this even during the season, they were not creative enough they didn't identify their playmakers early enough to be creative enough to keep teams off balance, to keep defensive coordinators chasing. Now, they started toward the end of the season to be a little bit more, hey, we've identified who our playmakers are. Let's be creative and get them the ball. I can admit they started doing that toward the tail end of the season, but that's when they were, I mean, all but out of the playoffs, you know, and it was like this team was on a downward spiral, you know. So are they predictable? The average fan couldn't tell me if they're predictable or not, because you don't, like you said, Caroline, you could be right half the time, you could be wrong half the time. That doesn't mean they're predictable. What they were not was creative with the players that they had, identifying who your true playmakers are and then running your offense based upon that. They wanted to try to incorporate everybody. And sometimes you just can't do that. I can't incorporate Swain because he does nothing for me. So I'm not going to incorporate him into a package that I'm doing other than run. Now, he may be in the pass game, but I'm not looking to throw him the ball. You know, not a lot anyway.
When your first round wide receiver or your $14, $15 million wide receiver are open downfield past the sticks.
Exactly.
And you call a screen to Jeff Swain. Like, getting mad about that or frustrated about that, like, that's totally fair.
But that's not predictability.
That's not predictability.
That's creativity. You got to be creative. And I think that's what Tim Kelly is alluding to. We were not predictable, but we do need to be a little bit more creative in what we do. We need more players. We need more speed. Guys that play fast, not necessarily 4-2, 4-speed, but guys that play and think fast. That's what we need. We didn't have that. That's what we need. And the task on me is to be creative with the players that I got. Not predictable, because again, there's only so many plays you're going to be able to run, but you got to be creative in running them.
And I'm not here to defend Todd Downing. He absolutely deserved to no longer be part to no longer be calling plays. Like that's it. Like he called so many things that were so puzzling to me. But Tim Kelly uses the phrase perceived predictability, and I think that that's fair. That it was so easy to perceive this offense as being predictable. And I don't think that's what it was. And I'll explain exactly why I think that coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts on that as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game.
Mike so seemed to think you were predictable. In hiring you, one of the things he said he wanted was to be able to go into the same formation, to have a different personnel, to be less predictable.
I think, you know, one of the things that we want to do as an offense is we want to be versatile. So whether it ends up being multiple personnel groupings, multiple formations, playing in multiple tempos, just doing things to try to keep people off balance. So, you know, that's what we're going to look to do moving forward. You know, we want to put our guys in the best position possible.
There you go. That was Tim Kelly at the NFL Combine yesterday. And to be totally fair, I do think there was a good bit of the Titans' offensive versatility that was taken away via injury.
Absolutely.
Like, if your offensive line can't protect your quarterback, and if your receivers are in a constant rotation of coming in and out and in and out with injury, there's only really so much that you can do. So I can understand wanting to be versatile. But Tim Kelly also mentioned yesterday how he didn't think that the offense was predictable. I know that that angered so many Titans fans because so many Titans fans last year were saying, oh, this offense is so predictable. Even in the text line, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, Brian texts in, says, I understand what you're saying, but when you run the ball 95% of the time on first down, is that not predictable? Well, let's look at the numbers because I looked back at every single Titans first down in 2022. They had 277 total first downs. They ran 104 of them. They passed 153.
So that doesn't equal to 95%.
That's not 95% of the first downs.
It may perceive while you're watching it as 95%, but no.
It might feel like it.
Yes.
And this is the season as a whole. And I understand that there were some individual games that did get predictable at times. At every single first down, it was handoff to Derek, run off the middle. Handoff to Derek, run at the middle. I understand that some games are probably worse than not. But this is pretty clear cut that it's not even half and half. It really leans in passing favor. So first, and that was first down. Look at total plays. Plays as a whole, 992 plays on the season in 2022. The Titans ran 487 of them, and they passed 456. They completed 285 of those passes. So that really, I mean, 487 run, 456 pass, that's pretty close to half and half. That's not awfully predictable.
Well, people are saying that. I think, one, there are several reasons. And as you start to, you know, look at it, you can understand why. Because what is this team known for?
Running the football.
Okay. You have teams that...
For good reason.
Yeah, for good reason, I understand. I mean, you go down to, even though Earl Campbell didn't play in a Titans uniform, you go to Earl Campbell, you go to Eddie George, you go to Chris Johnson, and now you got Derrick Henry. Am I missing a back in there somewhere? Probably not. Lindell, he was great for a season. But I'm talking about guys that had long history like of success with this franchise. So we look at them as a run-based team. I guarantee you if we look at the numbers with, say, Kansas City, Cincinnati, teams that we think are passing happy teams, you would probably see that they're more balanced than anything. But because of Patrick Mahomes and because of Joe Burrow.
Even Buffalo.
Super because pass of happy. Josh Allen. We think that, oh, they are a passing team. No, teams want to be as balanced as possible. Why? So they're not predictable, as many say. So when I look at the Tennessee Titans, I think, you know, I think they are, sometimes they are classified unfairly as a, oh, they just run the ball all the time.
One dimensional.
And when you look at the numbers, they're not. But we look at it at, the second one is because they're not a high-scoring offense. And we equate high-scoring offenses to what? Passing the ball around a yard. And if this team was a high-scoring offense, 25, 26, 27 points per game, we would look at them totally different. They had a bunch of injuries. They got rid of their best receiver. So this team, even with all of that going on, and more importantly, the offensive line, even with all that going on, they still were not overly run heavy as they were pass. It was, they skewed more on the run side, but it wasn't 60-40 or 70-30. No, they tried to keep it as balanced as possible. Why? To make sure when you're self-evaluating yourself, when you're self-evaluating, you try to pick up on your own tendencies. So you're not a pass-happy team or a run-happy team. And this team, they were not run happy, but because of the perception, because of what this team was built on, running the football, playing great defense, we all automatically think, oh, they just run the ball all the time.
And because also, whenever they do throw the football, it's not like a Joe Burrow, F it, Jamar's down there somewhere kind of throw. Like, you're not getting gains of 25, 30, 35, 40 yards in a single play. You're just not. Like, that's not the way that the Titans play football. They play dink and dunk football, where it's dink and dunk to the tight end, you know, short screens to the wide receiver here, where it's gains of 5, of 6, of, you know, maybe 11 here, pick up a first down there. But they don't play that sexy deep shot football. That's not the way that the Titans play.
Exactly.
So that perception might lead itself more to, oh, they never throw the football just because it's dink and dunk. I don't think the problem with the Titans offense last year was predictability based off of run versus pass. That I think a lot of fans look at it as like, oh, they just ran the football 95% of the time. I think the predictability came from the personnel that was on the field. That so many times it was, okay, well, it's third and eight. Derrick Henry is not on the field. And you've got, you know, you got two tight ends out there and you've got Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in the slot, Treylon Burks and Robert Woods out there. Like, it's very obvious what you're going to do. Like, I think that was part of the problem. If I'm going to label this offense as predictable, it's that I don't think Todd Downing ever tried to camouflage what they were going to do. Like, keeping Derrick Henry on the field just as the threat of a run, even when you are going to throw the football, that's what I wanted to see more of. The personnel on the field making it a little bit more difficult for defensive coordinators to guess what you're going to do. Because when Derrick Henry's not on the field and it's, you know, it's second and six, it's obvious what you're going to do. You're going to be passing the football. And you have Derrick Henry out there. It adds another layer of threat, another layer of unpredictability. So I think that's one thing, is the personnel was a little bit predictable.
Yeah, and I think
– I won't even say a little bit. It was.
The person – and that's what Tim Kelly is alluding to. He want to be more versatile in the personnel. You know, because of the way the roster has been constructed over the last few years and because of the injuries, they were not able – they didn't have the ability to be multiple in what they were doing in regards to their personnel. They had to play with what they had. Now, it doesn't mean that they were predictable in their plays, but their personnel, because of the limited players that they had or the ineptness of the roster, they were not able to be as multiple as they want to. We look at, you know, and a lot of it had to do with the offensive line. Let's just say that. A lot of it, because if you look at what Andy Reid is doing now, Andy's on a different, he's, to me, he's the best play caller in the National Football League over the last decade.
Yeah.
To me, he has. And if we want to, if people want to argue that, then so be it. But what he had some of the same problems that the Titans had with injury. But one place he didn't have it was the offensive line. For the most part, they were healthy. So he was able to be creative and a little bit unpredictable in his multiplicity of his personnel because his offensive line was in place. They were able to block whatever he asked them to block, whether it be a run play, screen play, pass play down the field, double pass, whatever it was. He had the capability of doing that. Why? Because his offensive line was the strength of his team. If the Titans' offensive line is the strength of their team, they're able and capable of being more multiple and not as predictable when it comes to packages coming in and out of the game. Why? Because now I can lean on my offensive line. Because if I can lean on my offensive line, then that means I can do more in my pass game or my run game. You can't tell me that of the skilled players, the only guy that I would say that I would for sure take on Kansas City's team, skill player wise, mm-hmm. is Travis Kelce. That's the one guy that I would take over just about anybody.
Over Mahomes?
I'm saying as far as skill player.
Okay.
I would take Kelce.
Yes.
Well, beside Kelce, who else did you have? Not much. Just like the Titans. If the Titans had that offensive line and Chigakonkwo, who's a really good tight end, I'm sure they're able, with that personnel that they have, they're able to be a little bit more multiple in what they're doing. Why? Because they believe they have the protection to do it. Kansas City believes they have the protection to do all these things, regardless of who's lining up out there. They didn't have Tyreek Hill. They didn't have, what's the other fast guy that was hurt most of the season for Kansas City, the other receiver that was hurt most of the season. They didn't have him. They didn't have his speed. But you know what they had? That offensive line.
And you could, and so many people are probably listening and saying, well, you can do that when you have Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. When Patrick Mahomes was hurt against Jacksonville, Chad Henne came in and scored.
Exactly.
And let's not forget the beginning of last season, whenever the offensive line, they had to trade off pieces of the offensive line. The offensive line wasn't great. It wasn't the offensive line that they had the year before. It took Patrick Mahomes a while to get acclimated. That he did not look like Patrick Mahomes in the first half of last season. Remember when the Titans played the Chiefs? After the Chiefs lost to the Titans, it felt like that's when they started to figure things out. But before then, the Chiefs did not look like the big, bad, scary Chiefs that they had before when the offensive line was still getting acclimated. So I think that's a fair point because I do think that offensive line is a big part of it. I also think that it was something that we touched on with Jonathan Hutton, that it wasn't the predictability from Todd Downing that was the problem. It was just stupid play calls. I mean, like, Henry and the Wildcat, a jet sweep to Chig with the game on the line against the Giants, a jet sweep to Malik when he fumbles the football when you absolutely positively need to move it downfield. I've said this so many times, and I'll reiterate it. I always felt like Todd Downing had a checklist of plays that he wanted to call. And a Wildcat might have been on that list. And no matter when it was, he was like, oh, no, I haven't called this yet. So he'd just call it when it didn't make any sense. And Todd Downing had no feel for the game. That was the problem. The bad play calls, abandoning what was working in the first half, in the second half. Like against Kansas City, Derrick Henry was averaging 10 yards per carry. In the second half against Kansas City, he had 8 touches. That's a problem. Like that, like abandoning what is working, dumb play calling, predictable personnel. That was the problem. Not, oh, we know that every time the Titans are just going to run it on first down. Because the numbers show, no, they didn't. They actually passed the ball, threw the ball more than they did run it on first down. So To everyone getting mad about Tim Kelly saying, the offense was predictable. What are you talking about? It's okay. The problem with the offense was not predictability. The problem with the offense, bad play calls, predictable personnel, abandoning what was working in the second half, and also injuries.
Mecole Hardman. Yeah. That's who it was. But no, you're absolutely right. When you don't have those things and when you're injured, outside of the quarterback, the most important position is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. When you're decimated at that position or inept at that position, then there are things you just can't do. And if you try to do them and you end up just like, for instance, the plays that Downing wanted to call, and he called them and they didn't work. It's like, well, they're not going to work. Look at the offense. Look at your offense. I congratulate you for trying, but it ain't going to work because you don't have the offensive line to give you the time to run that play.
So quit trying.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see your phones lining up on this. We'll get to those coming up next. Plus, Rand Carthon had a comment yesterday. How much do we make of it? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 1025, 1063, the game.
Ryan is under contract. You know, I know you guys, I just want to speak freely for a moment. You know, I know everybody wants to make a big deal, you know, out of the quarterback position and whether he will or won't be here. But you guys just have to accept the fact that Ryan is under contract, you know, for us. And right now he's a Titan and he will be a Titan.
When I heard Rand Carthon say that yesterday, Ryan is a Titan and he will be a Titan. After an entire list of questioning of saying Ryan's under contract, we're always looking to upgrade the quarterback position, Ryan's under contract, and then he says he's a Titan and he will be a Titan, I thought, oh boy, there it goes.
when he said... When he said, can I be frank here?
Can I speak freely?
I thought he was about to say something groundbreaking, like, oh my goodness, we're about to hear it. And he said the same thing he was saying beforehand.
But when he says he's a Titan and he will be a Titan, I knew that that was going to be interpreted as he's a Titan and he will be a Titan next year.
Yeah.
I knew it because the words that they say are always going to be overanalyzed, overinterpreted, and sometimes we have to do that mm-hmm. because they don't give us a whole lot. So we got to take a mile when they give us an inch. But when he said, can I speak freely for a second? I was like, no, you cannot. No, you cannot, man. You're at the podium at the NFL Combine. You cannot speak freely.
I just want to speak freely.
But no, you cannot.
We need to use that as a drop.
Yeah. Clearly you haven't been here long enough to know
you cannot. I just want to speak freely.
No, Rand. No. But the way, and I know that has been analyzed. I listened to Jared yesterday, mm-hmm. and he interpreted that as Rand probably giving a little bit more away than he should have. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is the case. Maybe that's the truth. Maybe Rand revealed something that he shouldn't have said, and the cat's out of the bag, and Ryan Tannehill's the starting quarterback in 2023. The way I interpreted it is, Ryan's a Titan until he's not a Titan. And mm-hmm. let's be honest, did that really reveal anything that we didn't already know? Like, Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans, mm-hmm. unless it's Aaron Rodgers or they draft a quarterback and they start him in 2023. Didn't we all already know that?
Yeah, so he's going to allow us or anybody else to come to their own conclusion. Mm-hmm. Because before he said, I'm going to speak freely, he basically said, Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback.
He's under contract.
Yeah, he's under contract.
Yeah.
So when he says speaking freely, and then says, well, Ryan Tannehill is under contract. Well, that's the same thing you said before you said, can I speak freely? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's no difference. And like you said, Caroline, he's the quarterback until he's not. He said right now, he's our quarterback. He's under contract, and he is a Titan. He will be a Titan. Okay, great. Until he's not a Titan.
Unless we find a better option.
And until he's not under contract by us any longer.
Or unless the Titans decide.
Which means a trade.
Right. Or unless the Titans decide to make a dumb decision to go sign Derek Carr or Baker Mayfield. And I would like to think that there are smarter people within that organization than to do that.
Yeah.
But, my whole interpretation of what Rand Carthon had to say, he's a Titan and he will be a Titan. Unless he's not a Titan anymore. Yeah. And I know he didn't say that, but based off of everything that Rand Carthon said, that's my overall takeaway.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Vrabel said, as long as I'm the coach, which is going to be a while, mm-hmm. AJ is going to be here. Well, guess where AJ isn't and where Mike Vrabel is? Mm-hmm. Here.
But the GM at the time said, for the foreseeable future, I don't foresee it.
Until
it becomes crystal clear that he's not. And it became crystal clear right before they were ready to pick
right.
that he was not going to be a Tennessee Titan any longer.
Let's get your thoughts on it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts into the text line and says, are the Titans backing themselves into a little bit of a corner because our offensive line has to be good at run blocking and pass blocking more so compared to other teams?
I don't think they're putting themselves in a corner. I think that's why he's answering. He and Mike are answering the questions the way that they're answering them because they don't want to put themselves in a corner. And then as far as, you know, the offensive line and running and passing, well, we all know they got to get better on the offensive line. That's just a given. Whether it be
– I don't know how they could get much worse.
Exactly.
Knock on wood.
Well,
but
they can. but they were – surprisingly, they were a better run-blocking team than what we may perceive them to be. Guys had higher grades run-blocking than they had pass-blocking. But we know in this league, you better be able to pass block if you're going to do anything. And they just were not as good. Actually, they might have been one of the poorest teams in regards to pass blocking. So run blocking, they did fairly well. They can get better, and they need to get better. But from a run blocking standpoint, they were pretty good. But I'm saying pass blocking, they need to get a lot better in order to be in a position where they were, you know, 2 or 3 years ago.
And I wouldn't say that the Titans have to, like, the offensive line has to do anything much different than any other offensive line in the league. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're probably going to be run blocking. Having Derrick Henry as your running back, mm-hmm. obviously you're going to have to run block more for Derrick Henry than, say, if you're the Buffalo Bills, who don't run the ball as frequently as the Tennessee Titans. But I don't think that what is asked of the Titans' offensive line is so drastically different or so much more drastically difficult than any other team. Every team in the league runs the ball and throws the football. It's just a matter of how much you do it. Chris is on the line. What's up, Chris?
Caroline.
How
are
you doing? I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, it's been a little while, and Mr. D-Mace, how you doing, good sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
No problem. And my comment is this with everything. All we know is this is lying season, everybody. It's lying season. A lot of lies are being told. We don't know what's true or what's not. We got to take everything with a grain of salt. But there are some things that are, in fact, true. Like you said, the offensive line has got to get fixed no matter what direction we go in. Because if you don't have an offensive line, everything else falls. Everything else will fall. But I think everybody has to understand change is inevitable. It's coming whether we want it to or not. Whether it's if Tannehill is the quarterback or not, whether Derek is eventually on this team or not, everybody needs to just prepare for that because it's coming. It's coming at some point. I know a lot of people aren't ready to face that reality, but that is a reality that we need to prepare ourselves for. And this upcoming season, this off season, is going, like you said, is going to tell us which way we're going. We're either going to be really, really good to where we're out of that realm for any quarterback the following year, or we're going to really, really suck and we'll be right there at the top. So this is the last stand. And so,
appreciate you, Chris. Thank you for your call. Always good to hear from you. To Chris's point about either going to be really, really good or good enough to not be out of reach of a quarterback in next year's draft, I don't think that this team is going to be really, really, really bad. Mm-hmm. I think you have too good of a coach and too good of a quarterback to be 1-16. And I know that's dramatic, mm-hmm. but I don't think that this team is built that way. And the only reason why they were 7-10 this year is because your quarterback got hurt, your left tackle got hurt, your first round wide receiver was on and off the field, mm-hmm. you know, your pass rushers were hurt, you lost Harold Landry in training camp. Like, there were so many injuries plaguing this team. So I think with this coach and this quarterback, you're not going to suck. But also, you know, there's a fair point about being out of reach of a quarterback in next year's draft. I said it. I think with Tannehill and Vrabel, you're going to be floor 8, 9, 9, and 8. That's just the reality of it.
And that's sort of the dilemma that this team is in. Because they know that eventually they're going to have to get that guy underneath center that's going to be underneath center in their mind for the next 10, 15 years. With Ryan Tannehill underneath center right now, you're not going to be, if we're basing it on you got to get your franchise quarterback in the top 15, top 10 picks, well, you'll never be in that position if Ryan's the quarterback. Because even with losing the last, 7, 8 games of the season,
Seven.
They're still not a top 10 pick because Ryan did enough at the beginning of the season that you pushed yourself out of that. So with Ryan Tannehill as quarterback, you're not going to be in a position because he is a good enough quarterback that he's going to win you games during the season. And he's going to win you enough that's going to put you in a position, if you don't get injured, that's going to put you in a position to be in the playoffs. And you have a coach that, and his coaching staff, that coaches good enough to put a team in a playoff, barring injury.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. And Chris brings up a fair point about the quarterback of what's the path to the next quarterback. Either you're going to be good enough to not be in reach of one, either you're going to be so bad that you can take a quarterback in next year's draft. And that's what I want to get into coming up next, is exactly the path to the next quarterback. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106 through the game.
But why wouldn't you be extremely interested in thinking about that position? Because you're basically just signing up to go 9-8 next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think 9-8 is kind of 9-8, 8-9 is kind of their bedrock number, right? Their base. Like, unless they're never going to tank, right? It just Vrabel's not allow it going to allow it to happen. So they're going to have a certain level of talent. And with that certain level of talent and Vrabel, who I haven't lost faith in over the 7-game losing streak, he's going to coach him up. And at worst, they're going to win 8 or 9 games, right? So I get what you're saying. They're not going to get another draft pick this high. But, we go round and round on this. I understand you're thinking like, hey, you're at 11, go get the quarterback. I don't have a lot of faith in these quarterbacks, and I'm not a Bryce Young guy. I think Stroud's the only one of the three that intrigues me. But my thing is you got to have a reasonable team to bring the guy into to have him have a reasonable amount of success. And they're really, really bad. I mean, if you put it down on paper and look at it, what they have on the offensive line and what they have at receiver, where they're number two yet again, who's a restricted free agent, is your guy, NWI, this guy would be coming into nothing.
There you go. That was Paul Kaharski on Robbie and Rex Road this morning. And hey, Nashville's best deal this week is 312 Pizza Company. I love 312. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Get a half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company at thegamenashville.com/deals now while supplies last. I think Paul Kaharski makes a very fair point. Mm-hmm. And it's a point that I have thought about myself. And it's a kind of an internal dilemma that I have. The Titans hopefully we'll never have a draft pick this high, at least in the near future. Haven't had a draft pick this high, at least in recent history. So if you're at 11 and the path to a quarterback, at least in terms of where you're drafting this year, seems clearer than it has been in recent history, just go get your guy. Go get your quarterback of the future. If you think that your quarterback of the future is in this draft, and that's what I go back and forth with, is if you go all in for a quarterback in this year's draft. And I mean first-round quarterback, franchise guy, not like a Hendon Hooker that you could get in the second or third round, but like a first-round, top-10, certified starter, franchise quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years kind of guy. Then and this isn't your guy, you can't do it. You cannot just trade up to get a quarterback just to get a quarterback and hope that it comes to fruition. That's when you get fired.
Yeah.
So you cannot go get your quarterback to go get your quarterback. If this is your quarterback, Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, Will Levis, for some reason Anthony Richardson is now projected to be a top 10 pick for whatever reason, which is beyond my, you know, my understanding. But whatever, let's throw Anthony Richardson in there. If you think that those are one of those guys is your guy, your quarterback of the future, then you go get them. And if they do believe that one of those guys is that guy, I have to think that the Titans will do everything in their power to do it. But if it's not, you don't.
Yeah, I think if I do believe if there's a consensus, if they've collaborated, as they say they have, and I believe that, and they've come to an understanding, come to an answer of, okay, either way, either our quarterback, we think one of these four quarterbacks can be our guy moving forward, or if they can't. If they can't, then no, you don't move off that 11 pick.
Right.
You stay there, or you try to move down and accumulate picks. But if you believe one of these quarterbacks is your guy, then you got to put out fillers on how do I move up in the draft to get that guy.
Which I believe they have.
Which I absolutely.
At least picked up the phone.
But what I'm trying to figure out is this. I consider myself a football guy.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and not necessarily because I play, but I've been following football since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. I mean, I got three older brothers and one younger brother, and we all played football, and we all watched it, just like basketball. So I understand and I know the history of that position, probably not like others do, and rightfully so. But I do know a little bit about that position. I'm trying to figure out what is it about this class that everybody's still so like, this is not the class to get a quarterback, or and next year's class is to get a quarterback. I understand Caleb Williams is, if you know the season goes the way he wants it to go, he will be the number one pick. You got Drake May, who will be arguably, if his year goes the way he wanted to go, he's going to be a top two, top three pick, who are depending on who's drafting.
Two ifs.
And so, yeah. But beside that, and I'm sure there are other quarterbacks. You know, there are a few in the SEC that potentially, you know, have an opportunity to work their way up into getting in that top 10 pick. But I'm trying to figure out, like, what is it about these quarterbacks? I can understand Anthony Richardson. He has a huge upside. But it just, you saw it, you didn't see it. You saw it, you didn't see it. So inconsistent.
He's got the talent.
Exactly. He has the talent. You look at Will Levis, another quarterback that last year, he was off the chart. Mm-hmm. He was a surefire top five pick. This year, because of the injuries, the lack of personnel, he didn't have the guys he had the previous year. He struggled a lot this season. So that knocked him down. But the two guys that have been consistent are C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young. There's nothing that I have seen that tells me. Now, if things can change, I get that. When you get in the NFL, different world. But from what I've seen, if the only knock is, oh, he's too small, well, you got to give me something better than that, because I can point out a lot of small quarterbacks that play in the era where quarterbacks wasn't protected. And they still had really good years or careers or great careers. First one to come to mind is Drew Brees. Drew Brees is not near the athlete that Bryce Young is. And he played in the era where they wasn't protecting quarterbacks as much. But he managed to survive. And he's a Hall of Famer, first ballot guy. So I'm trying to figure out, like, where are you? What are we trying to do here? Like, we got two quarterbacks that have proven they've either won a Heisman or been a runner-up in Heisman that have proven they can play, and they can play big. And we have another two that there are some question marks on them because of whether it's Anthony Richardson because of the up and down, or Will Levis because he had a great season and then his senior season wasn't as good. But I think as a whole, what makes this quarterback group so bad that we got to wait on next year? You got to show me, other than, oh, he's too small. Well, hell, you get an offensive line to protect him, and that'd be, you'll be okay. He's going to get hit. If that's the case, we need not draft receivers under 6 foot and under 100. And if you're under 190 pounds.
Devontae Smith.
Yes, we ain't drafting you. Or if you're under 200 pounds, we ain't drafting you. If you're not a running back over 6'2 or 6'1 and 230 pounds or 40 pounds, we ain't drafting you. We got to get away from that. These guys can play. I'm talking about Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. The other two guys, I think they could play, but there's still some questions.
Yeah.
Those two guys, they can play. They played, one played in the toughest conference in college football, and the other played in the second toughest conference in college football. Mm-hmm. And there's still questions about what?
I think that it's a few reasons why we might be, or some teams maybe, looking ahead to 2024. Mm-hmm. One, I look at like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for example. They're the perfect example of this. Teams that aren't in a position to move up and draft a quarterback, but might be next year. Because the Bucs need a quarterback. I mean, you cannot run it back with Kyle Trask. That's the plan for right now. But they're not in the position to move up to get a quarterback because they were too good this past year with Tom Brady. And it's such a quarterback-needy NFL right now that there's just not enough quality quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And there are just far too many teams that want a quarterback for Tampa Bay to be able to, you know, trade up and get them. So Tampa Bay has got their sights set on 24. I think the other reason is you view Will Levis and Anthony Richardson with buts, you know, with ifs. I think that's totally fair. I think the rest of college football also puts Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud in that group as well. One, Bryce Young's size. You may say it's not fair, and that, I think that's totally fair. But he is little. I still think he's the best quarterback in college football. Mm-hmm. I still think that Bryce Young has things that I've seen no other quarterback do. I think a lot of people look at C.J. Stroud and say, okay, well, is C.J. Stroud that good, or was he a product of the pieces around him? That he had one of the best tandems and even trios of wide receivers in college football. That we saw some off days from C.J. Stroud in the biggest game of the season against on your Michigan. Own home turf against Michigan. C.J. Stroud didn't look very good. C.J. Stroud against Northwestern, given it was bad weather, C.J. Stroud didn't look very good. So he got hot and he got cold. Was he a quarterback that was good enough to carry the pieces around him? And that's how they were so good. Or was he a quarterback that elevated the pieces around him? It's not my job to figure that out. I got scouts for that. But I think that a lot of some people may look at this quarterback class and say, there's no quarterback in this class that is a sure thing. Trevor Lawrence felt like a sure thing. Joe Burrow,
even though his senior season wasn't as good. Well, his last season, he didn't play to his senior season, I don't think. But his junior season, it wasn't as good because I think he dealt with injuries. His junior year, he came out his junior year, right?
He came out his junior year. That was 2020.
Yeah. His numbers were not as good. Not. I would have drafted Trevor Lawrence.
Who wouldn't?
His freshman season.
Who wouldn't?
As the number one pick. So, you know, it's neither here nor there with
that. I think some quarterbacks just don't feel like as much of a sure thing as they have in the past. But look at some of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. Nobody thought that they were sure things.
Exactly.
Nobody thought Patrick Mahomes was a sure thing, except Andy Reid. And you know what? He was right. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Peace.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.